Welcome to our City Gate Atlanta podcast. We trust you will be blessed by these messages and invite you to join us anytime as we worship the Lord and seek to walk in the fullness of His purposes and destiny for our generation. Information about our gathering times and various ministries may be found at www.citygateatlanta.org.
You know, there's a song that Phil Collins sang back in the day. I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. And I've been waiting for this moment for all my life. Oh, Lord. That's how I'm feeling tonight. I'm feeling we are not just about to get breakthrough. We are in the midst of breakthrough. We've already had such a glorious service, we could probably just go home right now. If you're tempted to, please do, because, well, it's going to be another 15, 20 minutes at least. I'm a descendant of Paul Revere, the guy who did that midnight ride, and I like to ride till midnight.
That's been why I'm tired.
But anyway, seriously, we are so grateful to be with you, Apostle Jackie. It is so wonderful to be in your house. I feel like butter, too. Can hardly talk. But get ready, because I do feel like as we move in with the Lord to the fullness of what He has for us, we're going to experience His glory. And He's going to bring to birth a new move of God. Now, if y'all want to miss the birth, some dads get really tired when their moms are birthing and they want to just, go sit down, watch a football game, or maybe just, take a nap or something like that. If you want to miss the birth, go ahead. But tonight, I believe a move of God is literally coming through the gates and being birthed this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, by the way, everybody. One of the greatest moms I know, the greatest mom besides my mom, who went on to be with the Lord, is my wife, Jolene. And pray for us or whatever you'd like to do.
So, Father, I just thank You for this house. Lord, I thank You for the excitement we've had the entire time we've been in Georgia, Lord. It just keeps building and building and building. Lord, we have known that Your hand is on Georgia. We go home to D.C. and we keep saying, when can we go back to Georgia? And I just thank You, Lord, that we are partnering with the angels, Father. All week long we've been hearing prophetic word upon prophetic word, Lord, and You've honored us. You've honored us to help fulfill things You've spoken years and years ago, Lord, and we are so humbled. But we thank You that You've chosen Georgia, Lord. Chosen Georgia. I thank You for the angels that meet us at this gate, Lord. I thank You for the governmental angels that meet us at this gate. I thank You, Lord, that the angels are positioned to go at the declaration of Your word because they have been saturated in the presence of God. I thank You, Lord, that this is a sanctuary where the angels literally come to hear the worship and find rest and find healing. I thank You, Lord, that they minister to the angels in this house and then they send them back out to war. Lord, we thank You for all You're going to do in advance. And we bless Your holy name. Amen.
We've actually spent more time in this project, the Glory Train project, in Georgia than any other state because of the weight of what we feel God is doing here. very interesting to be on a Glory Train project. You know, I mean, because if God's glory doesn't come, then we kind of feel like we've been shortchanged. Like, because we're all here to see God's glory, right? I mean, we saw a demonstration of God's glory in the dance. Even what Ezekiel saw with, you know, the wheels within the wheel, that was part of his glory. And I just kept seeing that as that precious family danced. It was amazing. And I can truly say that on our journey, we began on March 4th of this year, we have seen God's glory. He's never failed to show up. You know, he does it the way he wants to do it, right? And he does it very personally. So I want you to, you know, just lock in and go with God. And if you are off in the spirit, you know, moving in the glory, go, you know. Don't hold back for us. Just be free, all right? I mean, if you're going to fall asleep, then, you know, fall asleep in the glory or something. This midnight ride begins with the midnight awakening. So we'll wake you up in due time, and you'll be refreshed at midnight. Promise I won't keep you till midnight. 11:55 tops, okay? Well, my name's John, and my wife Jolene and I have a ministry in Washington, D.C. called Lamplighter Ministries. And we have a dream that God has forged in the depths of our being for awakening and revival. And it's amazing how God spoke to us. This year is the year when this move of God begins. 2016. We felt this very strongly, that the restoration of God's glory in this nation begins in 2016 in a much more comprehensive way than we've ever experienced. And I like prophetic words and prophetic perceptions, but I want to have clarity from the Word of God first. Does that make sense? So I'm going to give you some keys to seeing God's glory restored. And in context with this, I'm going to share a little bit of the journey that we've been on. That's okay. Back on May 7th of 1998, Faneuil Hall, Boston, I stepped out for the first time with a ministry gathering held by Lamplighter Ministries. And Faneuil Hall is known as the womb of the American Revolution. It's where the revolution was conceived. And we knew that God was at some point in time going to bring an awakening, a move of the Holy Spirit of God that would be revolutionary. Just like the first great awakening led to the revolution, the second great awakening, literally, because folks didn't turn when they were supposed to turn, it led to the Civil War. And the Civil War was fought to really legitimize the freedom we gained in the American Revolution. When the Declaration of Independence was signed, that said that all men are created equal. From May 7th of 1998 on till this present time, I have been obsessed with seeing this move of the Spirit of God brought forth, an awakening break forth in our land. And I had gone to Kansas City the day after and got this crazy prophecy by an unknown prophet. I didn't know who it was. But prophets came and tackled me in Kansas City. Have you ever been tackled by prophets? It's a highly uncomfortable feeling, Vanessa. I don't know. I mean, trapped by prophets. And this one prophet didn't know I was in Faneuil Hall. He didn't know my ministry is called Lamplighter Ministry, but he said, "You're a spiritual Paul Revere. And I see you holding out a burning lamp, and you're going to go from city to city to city, and instead of saying the British are coming, you're going to say the Lord is coming." Like, well, that's really cool. I was a photojournalist on Cape Cod stepping out into ministry. And all of a sudden, I get this crazy word. How did this guy know that I had just been in the womb of the revolution and he's calling me a revolutionary? And he's saying that this revolution, whatever it is, we're going to see a move of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is going to come. I figured at the time that I'd probably just, what do I do with that? Words from the Lord challenge your identity. Have you noticed that? They shift you into a new season. I believe the word that God gives tonight is going to shift Atlanta into a new season. It's going to shift everyone here into a new season. Yeah. I just have that kind of faith because I know what God is wanting to do tonight. So here I am, I'm thinking, well, what do I do with this? You know, quit my job, buy a horse, get one of those triangular hat things, put it on my head, ride into town and saying, you know, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. I didn't get it. I really didn't. 2 years later, I had moved to Colorado Springs, Colorado to work with a prophet named Cindy Jacobs. I was their graphic design and writer for a while. And Cindy was home on a rare occasion. She pulled me into her office and she said, John, I hear the Lord saying that you are a spiritual Paul Revere. I see you holding out a burning lamp. And you're going from city to city, and instead of saying the British are coming, the British are coming, you're saying the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And then she said this. She said, everywhere you go, revival is going to break forth. Now that threw me into a real identity crisis. Because I had already been a few places and revival certainly didn't come, you know. And so, in prayer, the Lord began to speak to me about Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the wise virgins and the bridegroom, that there's a midnight hour. The bride falls asleep, but at the midnight hour, there's a voice that awakens her. Behold, the bridegroom, he's coming. Rise up to meet him. And at the midnight hour, the bride awakens and goes out to meet the bridegroom, holding out her burning lamp. And I said, oh, that's me. How many of you know it's a midnight hour for our nation? It's a midnight hour for Atlanta. It's a midnight hour for Georgia. When the Freedom of Religion Bill gets rejected, because of pressure from Hollywood and the NFL. It's a midnight hour. Paul Revere rode and started a revolution. Paul Revere saw two signals in the upper room of a church, and those signals spoke to him that it was now time to rise. I wonder how many upper rooms there are in Atlanta that are bringing the signals to the body of Christ that it's now time to ride. Revere Road and a revolution was fought for freedom. Revere Road and a nation was born. 16 years after Cindy gave me that prophecy, 18 years after this unknown guy tackled me and gave us the very same prophetic word, word for word, we were with Cindy Jacobs in the womb of the American Revolution again, Faneuil Hall, on the anniversary of Paul Revere's ride to start the East Coast Glory Train. To commission a move of God. It was a full circle time for me. I had been preaching about this move of God that so many prophets saw, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But one of the key prophetic words given by a man named Bob Jones is that this move of God was going to combine the miracles of Exodus with the miracles of Acts. The miracle of Acts begins with the restoration of God's glory. There came the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Hello. Tongues of fire began to rest on them all. The manifest presence and power of God came from heaven to earth. The book of Exodus begins with God fighting a revolution against the gods of Egypt and the government of Egypt to bring an enslaved people from slavery into freedom. Setting a precedent among the nations. I'm saying all this because it's really interesting how the Lord orchestrated our steps when we came to Conyers. Jackie joined us and shared a prophetic word that Chuck Pierce had given back in 2006. I didn't know this, but Chuck Pierce prophesied. He saw the Lord bowing over Boston and blowing the seeds of Boston down to Atlanta, the seeds of revolution. And he prophesied that Atlanta would become the headquarters of the revolution for this hour of history. Now, we had gone to Boston, Massachusetts after 18 years of labor to see this move of God come forth. We had gone by obedience alone on the anniversary of Paul Revere's ride because we knew the Lord was commissioning a new move of the Spirit, a glory revolution. Glory, the restoration of the glory of God in the book of Acts. Revolution is in Exodus. Exodus and Acts married together. What do you get when Exodus and Acts are married together? The child that's birthed is called a glory revolution. We had just earlier that day, Lynn and Vanessa and Jackie, we had been to Dr. Martin Luther King's Ebenezer Baptist Church, where a revolution was released that literally shifted America and got America back on track. What Abraham Lincoln began, Martin Luther King brought to a culmination. What Abraham began, the King brought to culmination. Even our American history, God has woven into our American history His story of freedom. But we saw how the mantle that God had granted Dr. Martin Luther King became captive. And after Dr. King passed on, we saw great orators, we've seen great influencers, but we have not seen anybody legitimately wearing that mantle to speak truth to power and bring us out of the subjugation of our time and into freedom. And I've known for 10 years, been praying for 10 years for Atlanta, because I knew that Dr. King had, probably without even knowing what he was doing, he brought the headquarters of the Southern Christian Leadership Coalition into a Prince Hall Masonic Lodge. Now, just for perspective, if you don't know anything about Masonry, they bow down to the gods of Egypt and the gods of Syria, Baal, and they declare their allegiance and they speak vows according to these demonic powers. Listen, God had to fight against the gods of Egypt and the government of Egypt to get his covenant people out. Whenever you see idolatry, you will invariably see slavery, subjugation, division, prejudice. And unfortunately, when that movement tried to pick itself up after Dr. King died, it was under a very mixed influence. And we see that influence of mixture even today. And I knew for a decade that God had an assignment to go and pray at the headquarters of the SCLC and just declare, let my people go. That it was time for that principality that had held that thing back to be shifted out from that place of authority and for an entire movement to, as it were, come up out of the grave and live again. So we went to the Southern Christian Leadership Coalition former headquarters at this Masonic Hall. And we prophesied and we prayed as God commanded us to. And then that evening in Conyers, I find out that Chuck Pierce had prophesied back in 2006 that Atlanta was going to be the hub, the headquarters of a new revolution that's going to get America back on track. We had to deal with the cornerstone of the old headquarters to get the movement of God free so that we could see the reconstitution of a move of God that had been entrusted to Georgia from the beginning, released again. Let my people go. A glory revolution. We've been at this a long time, haven't we? We've been focused on East Coast awakening and revival. And back, I don't know, in like around 2007, this wild man named Lou Engel held a gathering called The Call, actually on 7-7 of 2007. And Dutch Sheets taught about divorcing Baal. And several other people shared on this move that God wanted to bring to divorce Baal and restore covenant with Jesus Christ apart from all idolatry. And then, you know, I guess it wasn't more than 6 months later, we were in Vermont, of all places, and met some crazy guy named John Benefield who was dealing with the idolatry in a very hardcore way. God had given him an assignment to mobilize people to go to all 10,000 lodges and altars of historic idolatry, whether it's witchcraft or whether it's, you know, Islam or even abortion clinics, and pray over every single place of historic idolatry, seat of historic idolatry, and ask God for a divorce from Baal and a restoration of covenant with Christ. In other words, we got somehow engaged in the largest repudiation of idolatry, the largest and most comprehensive repudiation of idolatry in America's history. And that's where we really connected with Jackie and Vanessa and Ed and Lynn. What's the big deal about this? Well, scripturally, the prophet Ezekiel is a prophet of God's glory. In Ezekiel 1, he sees the glory of God. He sees, and I looked, and behold, a storm wind was coming from the north, Ezekiel 1:4, a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually, a bright light around it, and in its midst something like a glowing metal in the midst of the fire. Within it were figures resembling four living beings in their appearance. They had human form, each of them. I mean, he's just describing the manifest presence and power of God that came as a pillar of fire with with storm winds surrounding it. It's like a tornado with storm winds around it. The glory of God. He saw the glory of God as a whirlwind. He saw angels in the whirlwind. He even saw, he saw these angels had wheels that they worked with. The wheels touched the ground. And wherever the Spirit went, the wheels went. The Spirit of God was in the wheels. That was at the very bottom of this glory cloud. The very top of the glory cloud was the throne of God itself. Wherever you see the glory of God, you see the government of God. The glory of God is the government of God. We may experience the glory in different ways. In the first great awakening, people had what they called herky-jerkies. Herky-jerkies. They shook under the glory. They fell out under the glory. They wept under the glory because of the holy conviction that gripped their heart. They became transformed under the weight of the glory. Same with the second great awakening. It's going to be the same with the third great awakening. So if you begin to shake, it's not going to mess me up one bit. I'll shake right along with you. I'll be on the floor shaking, baking, drinking, whatever. Let's just get drunk in the Holy Ghost. I want to experience the glory like the Apostle Peter experienced the glory, so that when the accusers came, he just got up and said, "Hey, we're not drunk like you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning." He didn't say they weren't drunk. No. He said, "We're not drunk as you suppose. There's another wine which we've been imbibing of. It's glory wine. I want some of that wine. I don't care whether it's morning, noon, or night. Give me glory. Get me drunk in that glory." It won't make you get a hangover, but you'll end up committing to some things that you'll later on go, "Did I really say that?" How many of you know what I'm talking about? So Ezekiel sees this vision of the glory. And in Ezekiel 8, he's taking in an experience where he sees the north gate of the temple. And there's an idol that provokes to jealousy there. And God says to Ezekiel, "Do you see what they are doing? They're setting up an idol at the city gate. The gate of my temple. And this is the least of their abominations, so that I would be far from my own sanctuary." He said, the enemy is doing this very purposefully. He knows that if he can just seduce the bride of Christ into embracing idolatry, it's going to cause my glory to lift. And Ezekiel saw it. He saw the glory lift from the sanctuary because his people had embraced idolatry. And they went back into subjugation to the very gods that they had chosen. They went into exile in Babylon. And I'm going to tell you a quick story about Boston, Massachusetts. Back in 1732, the awakening was going really strong. And the Boston pastors were a little bit uppity. They didn't like the herky-jerkies. They didn't like the weight of conviction that came upon everyday people. They, in their high and lofty towers, didn't really like the move of God that validated the common folk. And so they kicked the move of God out. They kicked the awakening out. The glory train stopped at the gates of Boston, Massachusetts in 1732. In 1733, those same pastors opened up the door for Freemasonry and Unitarianism. Got news for you. The same thing happened in the South. And just as the awakening was being birthed, I mean, the revolution was being birthed out of the awakening, God's revolution, the enemy tried to stop it in its tracks and overtake the move of God that was called the American Revolution, establishing a freedom governance for a freedom nation. We saw that power unseated fully when we started on April 18th. And it was only then that we could come to Atlanta and join with you and see the power behind the next expression of revolution stuff shifted. Just giving some strategy here. See, if we embrace idolatry, it causes the glory to lift. I agree with that. I weep over this too. If we repent of our idolatry, if we repudiate our idolatry and turn wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ, it opens up the door for the restoration of God's glory. So Apostle Vanessa and Apostle Jackie and Apostle Lynn have all given themselves to this in their season. Not so that we could, you know, just have another task on our hands, but there was this all-consuming, fiery dream that once we get on the other side of this, it was actually prophesied, Catherine Watsy prophesied it, that once we get on the other side of this, God is going to restore His glory and we're going to see a move of Holy Spirit awakening. So we together went to more than 10,000 altars of historic idolatry, begging God to come back fully to our land again, saying we don't want to be married to Baal, we want to be married to Jesus. I am of the opinion that these Gideons are worthy of honor that was described by Winston Churchill to the heroes that overcame in World War II. He said this of the Royal Air Force Academy, and I'm saying this of you three. Never has so much been owed by so many to so few. Never has so much been owed by so many to so few. Thank you for laying down your life. Thank you for seeing beyond the challenge to the harvest that is on the other side. Thank you for giving your all and being inconvenienced. It's not just so that the glory can come and we can have fun. On the other side of this is the harvest of the nation. The harvest that Jesus died to redeem. In 2011, the summer of 2011, we asked Dr. Vanessa Battle and we asked Jackie Tyre to team up together and pray through Civil War battlefields from New Orleans all the way up to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And we knew this was another prayer project we had that was part of this whole divorcing Baal project. Jolene had seen for years, almost a decade, how Washington, D.C. was completely surrounded by Civil War battlefields. Brother against brother. And that's how D.C. operates. I mean, you know, one agency doesn't get along with another agency, and they have turf wars over budget, and it consumes the vast majority of the taxpayers' money. It's their own turf wars. Consumed in a Civil War battlefield. Again and again and again, whether it's the FBI and the CIA or the State Department and, you know, the Pentagon or whatever, the three branches of the military vying for power, turf wars. It's across the Democrat and Republican, the turf wars. Hello, my God. And we knew that Baal was behind that expression of these turf wars. I don't have the time to go into it, but whenever you see division, at the core of division is idolatry. God judged Solomon's idolatry when he fell into idolatry by dividing Israel into north and south. And we knew that in this hour, division would become a tool of the enemy, potentially to bring us to the brink of another civil war. Definitely to a point of civil disobedience that could have literally inflamed our entire nation. And we knew that if we dealt with the roots of it at this time, we could head the vast majority of the challenges off at the pass. So Jackie and Vanessa embarked on a prayer journey from New Orleans, Louisiana, through Civil War battlefields, all up the coast to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. 11 states in 11 days. We had friends coming from Kansas City and going through more of a western route, praying through these Civil War battlefields. We prayed for battlefields too, but we also prayed for historic wells of awakening up north. And we all converged in Gettysburg. We didn't know this at the time, but Dr. John Benefield had just completed his 50-state tour, and the vast majority of these altars had been prayed over. And we felt like it was now time to present the Lord with the finished work of divorcing Baal. So we went to Gettysburg, where Abraham Lincoln consecrated a graveyard by saying this, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. I want you to hear that phrase very, very deeply in your spirit. That this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. He said, America is so enwrapped in this civil war that the only way we are going to have a healing of the land is to have a born-again experience. A new birth of freedom. And we stood together in Gettysburg and cried out for a new birth of freedom. We stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial on July 4th of 2011, crying out for a new birth of freedom, presenting to the Lord the finished work of divorcing Baal and remarrying the Lord Jesus Christ, asking Christ to remarry our land according to our foundational covenants. And we asked for a sign from heaven that he had heard us. The very specific sign we had asked for was based on a prophetic word by a leader in Jerusalem named Rick Ridings. He has a 24/7 house of prayer in Israel. His last major assignment before Israel was to come to Washington, D.C. and pray for 7 months. And he had one vision that became pretty famous. He saw a hard shell of demonic resistance completely encompassing my city of Washington, D.C. A hard shell of resistance. A nut. He saw a nut over Washington, D.C. Nuts in Washington, D.C. I said, that is a true, genuine word from the Lord. I mean, all you have to do is look at today's election news and nuts in Washington, D.C. You're laughing, but you sent half of them there. True that. We said, God, he saw this hard shell of demonic resistance being cracked by a giant nutcracker. So we said, Lord, if this is for real, and if this is the root of the hard shell of demonic resistance, we want you to crack the nut. So we prayed, Lord, remember the covenants of our forefathers. Marry our land again, God. Crack the nut. I said this before, but it's worth saying again. Jolene prays that prayer all the time for me, and it's working. Don't try that at home, guys. Okay. Anyway. Crack the nut. 50 days later, to the day, an unprecedented earthquake rocks the entirety of Washington, D.C. The White House shook. You know, God says he's going to shake everything that's been... Yeah. The White House shook. Congress shook. The House and the Senate both shook. The Supreme Court shook. The State Department shook. The Pentagon shook. The Washington Monument cracked in that earthquake. It's... unfortunately, an idol, an obelisk, is an altar of worship to the gods of Egypt, consecrated that way. And it cracked. You remember Gideon? Tear down the altar to your father and build an altar to the Lord in its place. You remember that? The altar cracked. Not only did that altar crack, but there's this headquarters of Freemasonry up on 16th Street where all the leaders go and take their 33rd degree initiations. The roof cracked. The altar was damaged. Now, I love the guys who are in Masonry. Please, there's a big difference between the deception of this that they've somehow been hoodwinked into following and the true expression of God's heart for them. They're many times drawn by the sincerity of others who earnestly believe they're doing good. But they're doing good, but it's tied to idolatry. They're making vows they don't even think has any meaning in the spirit realm, but it does. Okay? Just saying. We got to pray for these folks. There's some Moseses in there. Moses was raised in Egypt. Moses got really, really angry when he saw the injustice going on. And he had this mixture in his spirit. Didn't know which way to turn. And so he took matters into his own hands because of his anger, because of that mixture. And he was exiled from Egypt. You can see many movements even right now. There's Moseses in these movements. And there's righteous anger in injustice. But unfortunately, these folks primarily don't know who their God is. They're acting as orphans. They're not acting as sons of the living God. And we need to pray for these Moseses that are expressing their pain in their hearts to come out of Egypt and be adopted and have a living experience with the living God so that they too can actually confront the injustices with God on their side. And this time when they say, "Let my people go," heaven and earth will move. Good preaching. Amen. Okay. And God showed in a way that only he could. He cracked the Washington Monument. He showed as only he could that this nation was again married to the Lord, that he said yes to marrying our nation. And this is what Jackie and Vanessa gave themselves to. I don't know if you understand how the tide could have turned if you hadn't prayed through these Civil War battlefields and asked for union where there's been bondage and hatred and malice, because that's exactly what the vitriol, the enemy, was trying to bring into this nation and send across the nations to cause this nation from sea to sea to be on fire with the enemy's hatred and malice. And we saw little fires burn. I will never forget Charleston, South Carolina, when it seemed like the injustice against Pastor... I forgot his name, I apologize. But the pastor, Pastor Pickney, and his team that were praying, and they were taken out by this guy. And I mean, America was ready to erupt. But America didn't erupt. Instead, the body of Christ in Charleston, led by the African American church, said, we forgive and we're not going to bow to this. We choose love and set a new course that shifted our nation. Before there was Charleston, there was Vanessa and Jackie. And I know that you had taken some hits in the spirit realm. I know this was costly. The unity was costly. Just as the reconstitution of this unity is costly. But I want to honor you as the apostolic leaders that you are that caused the monument to crack as God responded saying, yes, I'll marry your land again and I'll bring awakening and union instead of slavery and division. And we have a gift for the three apostolic leaders in our midst. Jackie, would you come up? And Dr. Vanessa, would you come up? And Lynn, would you come up? Can we thank God for these mothers of liberty? These mothers of God's new birth of freedom. These mothers that have laid new tracks for the nation. These apostolic leaders who have set a new course for Atlanta, for the East Coast, and the entirety of our nation. These conductors of the Underground Railroad of our time. These generals of God's freedom revolution. And I know that there are seeds from Boston that are blowing on you now. And I know that God is adding the strength of his deposit in the north with the strength of his deposit in the south and bringing forth a glory revolution in this hour. And I know that the Moses mantle that we have been contending for is now being reformed, reconstituted here right now in your midst, over you and within you. Moses mantle, freedom mantle, a new birth of freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. And within that impartation, I knew I was to add the expression of God's covenant stewardship that has been entrusted to me as a guy whose forefathers came over on the Mayflower and committed the land and government to God's glory in the advancement of the Christian faith. I knew that there is a freedom expression within this mantle from the first Great Awakening and the second Great Awakening and the revolution. And the leadership over a civil war to bring forth a new birth of freedom. I'm telling you, a new move of God is being birthed right here, right now, in the midst of us.
I feel like the Lord's showing a prophetic picture here. Because in Georgia, the apostles are at the foundation of what God's going to do. You guys were at the foundation of what God's going to do. So much of what we've seen in the church is the apostle up here and everyone falls in line. And the Lord says, you have, as apostles, have been at the foundation of what I'm going to do. And you are bowed low today. Under the weight of what God has done in the past, but what he is going to do. Yes. as he builds upon the foundation of what you've done and what you've led people in Georgia to do behind you. Thank you for your foundational work as apostles, says the Lord.
You may be seated. Thank you for your manifest presence and power in our midst. We are engaged in a glory revolution. And for those who endure to the end, you shall be saved. You too will be prayed for. We're going to receive together an impartation that's going to radically redirect our world. So let me tell you just a little bit about this glory train journey we are on. 2 years ago, we went up the East Coast knowing that God had married our land and it opened up the door for the glory of God to come in. So we went across the geographic East Gate that they had traveled again, this time welcoming the glory of God to come. And we finished the project in Virginia Beach. And in Virginia Beach, they're laughing, they're crying, they're travailing, just, this is good. In Virginia Beach, the Lord gave me a vision of tracks being laid from Virginia Beach all across to San Diego, California. And I saw a train rolling along those tracks, and the Holy Spirit said, "That's my glory train." And I knew he had not just come into the East Gate, but he was going to fill the house by way of the gate facing east. It's time for the house of God to be filled with his glory. How you doing? They are not drunk as you suppose, okay? They're not. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to the Trinity. Happy Mother's Day to you. Okay. It's always good making history with you three. All right, so pay attention. Get attention back here, please, okay? So the Lord gave this vision of a glory train. And then you guys have all experienced this. When a word of God is deposited, you kind of starts to swirl where you begin to experience the leadership of the Lord, and he even gives you other words that kind of confirm it, right? And I just began to trip over these words. One of the first words I encountered was given to Dutch Sheets. He was a conductor of a train. You guys have heard of Dutch Sheets? Okay. He was a conductor of a train. And this train was going headlong in the wrong direction. This train was going headlong in the wrong direction, and then it went underground, and underground it looked like it was going to crash and burn, going headlong in the wrong direction, but all of a sudden the tracks changed. And this train wasn't prepared to go around the tracks, but it did. Careening around the tracks in a 180-degree angle and shot right out the other side of the tunnel. An underground turnaround. God brought an underground turnaround. And I think I'm in a house of conductors of this underground turnaround. Your intercession has for decades been laying the tracks for this turnaround. We've all known America's been going in the wrong direction. We all know that politics does not have the answer. Unless we have a move of the Spirit of God, we're going down the wrong tracks. But you have laid the tracks where nobody has seen you underground for the turnaround that is rescuing this nation and bringing us out to fulfill our destiny. Underground turnaround. Remember that. I've been a student since hearing this word of the Underground Railroad. I love Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman said, I was a conductor of the Underground Railroad for 8 years. And I can say what very few conductors can say. I never got a train off track, and I never lost a passenger. And then she said this. She said, I freed 1,000 slaves, and I could have freed 1,000 more if only they had realized they were slaves. If that doesn't describe our culture right now, I don't know what does. Because there are cultural norms that have been imposed upon us that are diametrically opposed to the Word of God, and they're bringing us into subjugation and slavery instead of freedom. I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if only they had known they were slaves. It's why we need a move of God. We need a move of awakening that brings us back and awakens our senses again. When we can't figure out whether we should go into the men's room or the women's room, we need a move of God. Hello. Really, we need a revolution because this is all being imposed on us. Just today, Senator John Kerry, he addressed some group of college people and he said, get ready for a borderless world. Get ready for a world without borders. No, borders and boundaries, they are meant for our health and our well-being, even as a nation. And we've seen the enemy try to erase our boundaries and erase our borders and bring these folks in illicitly and illegally. We have no gatekeeping capacity. For their own good as well as ours, we need to see a restoration of godly boundaries. Otherwise, this train, not called glory, that America is on, is spiraling down towards global governance and global finance tied to idolatry, where this freedom nation would lead the world into subservience to the Antichrist. I'm just going to come out and say it because there's a contending in Atlanta right now. It's why we need a revolution. You think it's the Democrats or you think it's the Republicans. It's there in both camps. Jeff Sessions, very conservative Republican, warned about the Trans-Pacific Trade Deal, that it sets up a transnational governance that violates America's sovereignty. Elizabeth Warren, very liberal Democrat from Massachusetts, warned that the Trans-Pacific Trade Deal sets up a transnational governance that violates the sovereignty of America and each nation that signs it. And there's a trans-European deal in the works now. And so the combined trans-Pacific and trans-European trade deal is set to have authority over 90% of the global GDP. I don't think it's a great idea for that much power to be in the hands of so few. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up, Atlanta. It's time for a glory revolution. It's time we get this freedom nation back on track. I don't know what our pilgrim forefathers would say about this. I don't know what Harriet Tubman would say about this. I don't know what Abraham Lincoln would say about this or Martin Luther King would say about this. But no, a global economic system tied to global subjugation, no, they wouldn't be on board that train. They'd be on the glory train, the freedom train, going from slavery to freedom. An exodus out of Egypt, out of idolatry, into one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All aboard the glory train. All aboard the freedom train. Chuck Pierce's first prophetic experience was of a train called Awakening going across the nation. I stumbled on this word by a guy named Bob Jones. Mentioned him before, but how many of you know who Bob Jones is? He's still alive just before the throne. His last overarching word to this nation was the glory train. He got caught up in a prophetic experience, and he found himself on a train. The conductor came by, Ed, to take his ticket. And he asked the conductor, what is this train? The conductor said, this is my glory train. Well, where's this train going? To any city that wants it. Atlanta, do you want the freedom train? Do you want the glory train? Do you want this glory revolution, the move of the Spirit of God that releases multitudes from slavery to freedom? It is yours for the asking. We say yes. Glory. We started this journey in dialogue with Bob and with Bonnie Jones. Bob had passed on. That's a whole nother story. We could take a week and just have a revival. Can we just take a week, have a revival here, and do Glory Train here all week? I'd love to do it. You would never be bored, I promise. We started the East Coast leg of the... I'm going to go back to the beginning. The Lord began to speak about how he didn't just want me to go across the nation. He wanted us to go all around and completely circle the nation. And he said this to us as I was praying about it. He said, as you go across the nation, you are presenting me with a wedding ring. Circling the nation, presenting me with a wedding ring, this land, this nation married to the Lord. So, we started actually in Hawaii, went from Hawaii to Alaska, Alaska down to our friends in British Columbia, Faisal and Sabina Malik, who wrote the book, The Political Spirit, great book, needful for this hour. We then got on a train in Seattle, Washington, after ministering, and went from Seattle out to Washington, D.C., from Washington to Washington. That was our first leg. And it was in... St. Paul, Minnesota, that the Lord began to speak about how the verdict he gave us for this nation during the glory procession, he was going to execute and manifest the verdict during the glory train. The verdict is Daniel 7:22, judgment in favor of the saints, restraining the Antichrist forces that are holding us in bondage and releasing the saints to possess the kingdom. Long story short, so we get to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and in Pittsburgh, I began to hear the Lord say the turnaround womb, how Pennsylvania is the turnaround womb for the nation. And Jolene saw that the baby that was in the womb, this glory revolution that was in the womb of the body of Christ, it was in a breached position. And she saw the hand of the Lord come and turn that baby around in the womb so that it could be birthed. We started on 418. I love Luke 4:18. The Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted. We started on 4:18, the anniversary of Paul Revere's ride, commissioning this move of God. We went from there to Times Square. And then to Philadelphia. And in Philadelphia, we began to sing, "Crown Him, Lord of All." And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke that the baby's head was crowning.
Wow.
That we were crowning the King.
Wow.
We went to Washington, D.C., and Dutch Sheets joined us on the first day of Passover and began to speak about the underground turnaround. And I began to look just tonight about this underground turnaround in a different way. The breached baby is turned around and is about to be birthed out of that tunnel. We finished Passover on the first night of the last night of Passover in Brunswick, Georgia. I love Brunswick, Georgia. We go there a lot. It's a glory hub. And it was very interesting when we came to Georgia on the last day of Passover. The first day of Passover honors "Let my people go," and a people rise up out of Egypt, and they begin this glory train. They begin this freedom movement. The last day of Passover, the last night, is where the people of God are cornered. They had come out to the Red Sea. There's mountains on one side, a Red Sea on the other side. There's no hope of escape. But then the water breaks. The waters part, and the people go through on dry ground. And their enemies drown in the waters.
Wow.
On the first night of Passover, Dutch Sheets prophesied about the underground turnaround. On the last night of Passover, here we were in Georgia to see the waters break again. It was a unique experience. Here's what Bob Jones wrote about the Glory Train in his prophetic word. It's all on our website, glorytrain.us. Darren and Amanda did a great job putting it together. And we have a record of the prophetic expressions that God has entrusted to prophetic people from all streams, prophesying about the move of God coming as a train. And Bob said this, so we're on that glory train, and anytime you hear a train whistle, this is all about the restoration of God's glory. The whole word specifically addresses how God's restoring his glory to America. We're on this glory train, and anytime you hear a train whistle, just say this in your thinking, I'm on that train. I'm on God's glory train. My future is in his glory train. That's where I'm going to abide with him. And all my time down here, that glory train will get bigger and bigger, because when it stops in the city, that city will no longer belong to the enemy. It will belong to the Father. When the glory train stops in the city of Atlanta, that city will no longer belong to the enemy, Vanessa. It's going to belong to the Father.
Yeah.
We see this in the Word, but we also know that covenant with Jesus Christ has been restored, validated by the court of heaven. Guess what? Atlanta is Christ by covenant, Jackie. So is Columbus, Lynn. Get ready for entire cities to be saved. Get ready for the glory to shine at night like streaks of flames, like fireworks, to where you'll visibly begin to see his glory. I thought you'd be shouting at that, but it's probably probably just because you weren't in the Brunswick meeting. Because in the Brunswick, Georgia meeting, at 9/11 specifically, when I began to talk about this, all of a sudden there were these bursts and eruptions outside the door. I looked down, my watch said 9/11. I looked around to make sure everybody's okay, that there's not some madman with a grenade or something. And the burst continued, and they continued, and they continued. On the first night of Passover, as the glory train came to Brunswick, Georgia, Georgia, somehow we were greeted at the gate with fireworks. And the glory is going to be like fireworks, says the prophecy. I read that prophecy, and everybody went crazy. And then there came this holy hush. So everybody just realized what had happened. And the silence of the hush was broken by a whistle of the train engine coming in to Brunswick. On the last night of Passover. Georgia, the glory train, it's your legacy. It's your destiny. We went from Brunswick Conyers, the East Gate, to summon the glory through the East Gate. And then we went up to the North Gate of Cartersville. And Pastor Ralph Abernathy, his name's Rocky Abernathy, but I renamed him. If you know who the civil rights leader Ralph Abernathy is, they named a highway here after him. Rocky Abernathy, some 20 years ago, was holed up in the home of a revivalist named Sam Jones with Prophet Bob Jones, Bobby Connor, and a few other folks. And all of a sudden, Bob Jones begins to prophesy about a fire that is coming, the glory train coming to Cartersville, and through Cartersville into Atlanta. And through Cartersville and Atlanta into the coastlands of Georgia. I didn't know we'd be following the tracks of that prophecy, that glory train prophecy.
Because I heard him say this, but you need to hear the other piece of this. The troops that burned Atlanta came through Cartersville into Atlanta and all the way to the coast. And what the Lord had said was that as Atlanta once burned in unrighteousness, it would now burn in righteousness and glory.
You can't make this stuff up, guys. We didn't even know what we were doing. When we led the glory procession, the Holy Spirit spoke to us over Georgia that Georgia was the reconstitution state. We knew that Georgia had been the place where the Union broke apart originally, led by the body of Christ. But we knew that God was calling Georgia the reconstitution state, and that Georgia would even stand for the Constitution at a time when the Constitution and the boundaries established by the Constitution were under attack. But more, we knew that Georgia would literally be the state that brings the reconstitution of the body of Christ and of the nation where it had been divided. Reconstitution. And I knew that part of this, and you know how things, things go. I knew there'd be a reconstitution, even of a freedom movement that had fallen into the ground and died. The seed had fallen into the ground and died. But God was going to breathe on these seeds again and cause this glory revolution, what we're calling it now, to burst forth from the womb of Georgia. And so this entire time we've been journeying, I've known that God was going to do something significant in Georgia. What I also knew was that we would be making that turn fully in Georgia and be making it out the other side as a nation into the freedom movement. What I did not understand until praying here in that back corner there tonight is that this movement is making it through the underground turnaround on Mother's Day and is being birthed here in Atlanta this Mother's Day. In Pittsburgh, we saw the breached baby turn. In Philadelphia, we saw the crowning. In Brunswick, the waters parted. And in the headquarters of Atlanta, once we broke through that covenant with death that was holding back the birth of this freedom movement, from this day, the reconstitution of this freedom movement, this Moses mantle, has now been decreed. It is birth. This child, this movement is hereby birthed in the name of Jesus.
Only God could do this in an apostolic center led by a woman with two other women apostles in the house. Only God. Only God could do that in Atlanta. I mean, let's put this in perspective. God did this. God set this up. That on Mother's Day. Jesus!